As mentioned, Dan Murphy's set to join us now. He's in isolation. He's in quarantine like the rest of us, so we'll play him in with the Quarantina Band. Something tells me, Murph, that that actually might be theme music around your house these days.
I don't even, what is that from?
That's from Star Wars.
Is it?
That's the Cantina Band. We called it the Quarantina Band.
Oh, well, I think I only saw one Star Wars as a kid, the very first one, and that's as far as it's got me. So I don't really remember it.
Wow, you and Walker.
Maybe that's something I should be doing here in the time. But I remember seeing the first one, which would have been, what would have been, late 70s? Or early 80s?
Yes, late 70s.
Yeah, I saw the first one, and I don't think I saw any after that.
I want to say 78.
Yeah, if I saw the second one, I don't really remember it. But I know I saw the first one, that's for sure.
Star Wars, yeah. Last Hope was the first one, and then New Hope, pardon me. And then Empire Strikes Back is the second one, and obviously you didn't make it into Return of the Jedi.
No, I mean, I think now that maybe I saw the second one as well, but I couldn't tell you what happened, aside from Luke, I'm your father, from the first one. I mean, that's about it. That's about as far as my memory goes for that one.
Based on your Twitter feed, it sounds like you're poring over some of the cinematic greats during this time.
Yes, yeah, we try to pick out a kid's movie a day, you know, some aren't too bad. I didn't remember Goonies at all. I'm sure I saw it. We watched that the other day, and that went over fairly well for a 7-year-old girl. Greatest Showman is probably at the top of my list right now. Even though it was a musical, I thought it was good. Despicable Me in terms of the animated ones. Yeah, I liked it. We're going through a ton of those movies. Thinking about maybe doing the Harry Potter, but I'm not sure if that's what we'll start next. But if this is going on for another month, I'm sure we'll get into that.
I'm sure you will. What's at the bottom of the list? Which is the one that made Isolation seem even more insufferable?
I kind of remember liking Ice Age better whenever it came out. Second time around was not nearly as good, but it was still okay. The Lorax was all right. I didn't watch the one last night. I tuned out, but Tad, the Lost Explorer or something like that. So those would be right now the three that, you know, I wouldn't have to watch again.
Tuned out is parental speak for poured myself another.
Online poker.
Actually, I want to ask you about this. I haven't gotten into this yet, but okay. Not that we need to start another Is Poker Sport debate. That's been done in this city, and nobody's topping that high moment. But I saw The Athletic put out there. They asked all of their writers, and everybody weighed in and got to rank a bunch of sports movies, and they all assigned points to it. And they did their top 100 sports movies. And two of the they included in there that just don't pass the smell test as sports movies to me, and I love both movies. I actually like these movies a lot. The Big Lebowski is one of my favorite comedies. I know they bowl a little bit, but that doesn't feel like a sports movie. And same with Rounders. I'm sorry. Those aren't sports movies to me.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, if you're going top 100, if you want to throw them in there for me, I'm not going to get too upset. But, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I don't have to put Rounders in as a sports movie. And what about McCracken? You know, there was another one that was bowling in it as well with Woody Harrelson. What was that movie called with Bill
Kingpin.
Murray? Kingpin. Would that be a sports movie?
See, that one to me is a little more borderline because, like, bowling is the central theme to the movie.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Whereas Kingpin, it's just kind of, I know it's a place they meet, and I know it's important to the dude, but bowling isn't the central theme to that movie. So maybe I'm splitting hairs here. Like, do we consider Dazed and Confused a sports movie because there's a baseball scene?
Yeah, no, I'm with
you. And a bowling scene, for that matter?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. Like, if you're going to top 100, I wouldn't have a problem putting them in there, but I just can't. You can't be, you know, placing them too high on the list just because of that mere fact.
I think Lebowski got, like, number 6 because they put it in the competition. It's a great flick.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to agree with you on this one, Scott.
Dan Murphy joining me here. I'm here for anybody who will agree with me. You won't agree with me probably on what I'm about to ask you next. I put this to Randorf earlier in the show. And look, with what you do for your job, it takes the fan out of you for certain sports. Mm-hmm. But what is your most cherished victory as a sports fan over the course of your life?
Oh, boy. Well, I mean, recently I'd have to say the Seahawks championship, just because it's kind of it's the last remaining one that I watch kind of as a fan because I don't really cover it. But I will say I really enjoyed both Hadwin's win at the Valspar and then Nick Taylor's win this year at Pebble. Now, those are individual, championships, wins, so to speak. So I don't know if you put them on the same level as a team, but I would say the Seahawks would be the most cherished because really it's the only team I've ever cheered for that's won anything. And then on the individual level, you know, Hadwin and Taylor are kind of two guys I cheer for week in, week out when they're playing.
Yeah, that one just came in actually from Chris on Twitter saying, we're winning the Masters. Hadn't been brought up prior to today, but that was a pretty big event for a lot of people too.
Yeah, I remember that too. We were in, I believe, St. Louis. The playoffs were just starting. And I remember watching in the hotel room and, being really fired up for that, watching him win that one as a Canadian. But I feel like I have a little more, I don't say personal investment in Hadwin and Taylor, but I know them a little bit. Of course, grew up in Abbotsford and worked at Leadview, so I kind of feel a little more of a personal connection to those two.
Of course. And Adam Hadwin actually weighed in on this. He's a Pats fan, so the Pats beating your Seahawks is his most cherished victory.
Yeah, I don't understand that guy. Like, he's a Patriots fan, and he hates the Bruins. I know his old man loves both the Bruins and the Pats, so maybe that's what rubbed off on him. But, that would probably be most recently my, most devastating defeat. The one I can remember the earliest being Blue Monday, the Dodgers over the Expos. That was kind of the first real loss for me as a sports fan. And, I'd probably say 94 Canucks, because really then you're kind of still in the, prime of your sports fan years, I think. Whereas 2011, I probably felt more hurt for individuals. Like, I really would have liked the Twins to have that Stanley Cup championship or Bieksa or Luongo or any of those guys. But, as a fan, I probably was much more of a fan of the Canucks in 94 than I was in 2011, just for the mere fact that I've been working, covering the team for a decade. But that doesn't say I wasn't disappointed, because I think I felt on an individual basis for a bunch of the players on that team.
Well, and that's the point I made earlier. It's about your, as a fan, it's about your personal level of investment with the team and about your belief in them actually getting the job done as well. And like for me, I referenced the Blue Jays. I felt entirely differently about the 2015 team. I thought that team had everything to win it and should have won it. Whereas in 2016, they get to the ALCS again, but I never felt that way. It just didn't have that it factor. You mentioned the start of that St. Louis series when you were watching Mike Weir, 2003 playoffs. I'm surprised nobody has brought up Game 7 of the second round of that year in the Canucks fan base, because that was a devastating loss when it looked like their path to the Stanley Cup was better than it ever had been in franchise history.
Yeah, and I got asked this, I think, on my mailbag, the last one, aside from the three Cup runs, what was the one year you think the team really had a chance to win it and blew it? And I said 03. I mean, I think that's 02, 03. Yeah,
I have to be
0-3 because, they rolled through St. Louis in a sweep. And a quick side note on that, because it was overtime in Game 4, right? And
well, that was 2007 was the St. That St. Louis
that
series.
Was, sorry, series. Oh, the other one
this was the comeback against the Blues.
That's right. That's when the whole team got sick. Okay.
Correct.
But the second round against Minnesota, 3-1 lead, chance to win it on home ice in Game 7. A team that had a lot going for it. And I don't throw that one all on Dan Cloutier, I'm with you. I think that was a year that they really had a chance to do something in the playoffs. And, that was a team that, even though they had a bunch of talent for a few years, never had any real playoff success.
Listen, up not only 3-1 in the series, up 2-0 at home in Game 7.
Yeah, Darby
against
Henderson.
A team that can't score. Oh, that puck that bounced out from behind the net and over top that ends up getting the Wild back into the game. And you're right. Then Darby Hendrickson in the third period ends up being the guy who puts the death knell. I'm surprised nobody has mentioned that, because really when you look back, that was the best the West Coast Express had it.
Oh, no question. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of talent on that team, and not just the West Coast Express, but, the Twins were early in their career. You had Jovo, Salo, Oland. I mean, you had some really good players on that team. And they were offensively as gifted as any team in the National Hockey League at that point. And to lose in Game 7 to a team that just couldn't muster any scoring at all was crazy. And I remember, too, because I believe that Minnesota won the first round in overtime against Colorado, did they not?
Yep.
Andrew Brunette scoring in Game 7 in that one, which was a huge upset then for them to go on and win the next round as well. That was a real good run for a team that was still in its infancy.
In conversation with Dan Murphy this morning here on your home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. I don't know how much time you've given to thinking about the potential scenarios that could play out for the playoffs or end of regular season. I will say this. I'm at a point where if anything's going to happen, Murph, I think the most logical thing in my mind right now, given with the way the two countries have dealt with the infection rate of COVID-19 and everything that's going on with the medical system, it feels to me like the best chance for this might end up being at a couple of neutral sites or a couple of chosen specific areas in Canada with teams have been tested and flown up if anything's going to occur at all. Where are you at?
Yeah, I agree. I just don't think you can realistically believe that sometime in the next 2 months you're going to be able to have certainly games of fans in the States, and maybe not games at all in the States. So this is a big if, I just don't think it's going to get done. That's my personal belief, but I hope to be proven wrong. But yeah, if you want to finish the regular season with almost some sort of like, not tournament, but to have a bunch of teams, a couple different rinks, and just go almost like Olympic style, play a bunch of games in, you know, a week, and then, you know, finish out the regular season with whether it be truncated or not, but just make sure every team gets to play 75 games or 74, whatever it might be, to have your regular season and go into the playoffs. But I'd like to be proven wrong. I don't think it's going to happen, but if it is going to happen, you're right. It's likely going to have to be somewhere in Canada.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that's how it's going to have to be, because especially with the population base, if you're going to come as close to bubble wrapping teams as possible and let them operate in their own environment, this country sets up a lot better than it does down in the States with so many people.
Sure, but also you have to think too that if you decide to do this, a bunch of guys are going to be coming back from Europe, right? You're going to have to, you know, whatever, do temperature tests. Are you going to have to quarantine guys that come back from Europe for a couple weeks again?
For sure. Yeah,
so this is something that is not going to be resolved anytime soon. But you can bet they're going through 1,000 different scenarios of what might happen and how they could make it happen. Because if they're going to do what you're suggesting, then they're likely going to have to start calling guys back in a couple weeks' time to give them those 2 weeks of quarantine before you can even think of sending them somewhere else.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I hope it happens, but I'm not optimistic at this point in time. I'm not sure how realistic it seems with everything that's going on right now and trying to compromise next season as a result of this. Hey, I get it. Everybody's looking for something right now. Everybody misses sports. And listen, the business sides of these guys sees the opportunity that's sitting there. Everybody's at home. Everybody wants something to watch. It's why Tiger and Phil are talking about getting together again, which I have no interest in, by the way. Where are you at?
No, I couldn't care less. I didn't care about the last time. I saw someone though on Twitter said it'd be funny if they played like any average Joe on the weekend, rolled up, no sleep, no warm up, couple of beers in the cart, and just rode around together. Maybe I'd watch that one, but I couldn't really care less about a 1-on-1 golf match at this point.
No, not unless they put something of consequence on the line. This is what I said the last time. Like, if they put Holmes on the line.
Yeah.
Now,
if somebody has to scratch a check for $500,000 at the end of the round, then I'd tune in just to watch that part. I'd watch the end to see one of those guys have to scratch a check.
I actually want it to be about something other than money, Murph, because those guys can get $500,000 anytime they want. But if you lost your vacation home to your chief rival, and that guy got to go there and he got to post videos and pictures any time that he was using the vacation home he won from you on live television, now I'm interested.
Yeah, well, sure. And then I can't even imagine what the dollar amount would be for some of those homes, too. So then you're looking somewhere in the $5 million range, probably, so which would be a lot more, a lot more hurtful to have to give up. But I can't see either one of those guys wanted to do that.
No, I can't either, but I think it would be sensational theater if they ever did. But people are doing things they don't want to do right now. You're running.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to go do one of those right now, I think. And I don't mind running. I just find that I can't do it every day anymore. Knees or whatever, you know. And I could tell that I hadn't done much running because at night I was getting restless legs, you know, when they're probably a little bit sore. And I wasn't used to it, and I couldn't get comfortable in bed. So that tells you where I'm at with my running career.
Dude. Me too. I got humbled yesterday, and you know, I used to run quite a bit, but I decided to take on a little more than I could yesterday. And yesterday it was a little warmer, so I actually overdressed, and I was so hot. I felt like I was running in like 30-degree heat, and I was so sore last night I couldn't even believe it.
Well, I ran in the monsoon. What day was it? Was it Friday or Saturday morning? And I went out, and it was pouring rain. And as soon as I finished, the rain stopped.
Of course. You're Murphy. It's Murphy's Law, man. It's your own
fault. Exactly.
Hey, buddy, always appreciate you jumping in. Keep everybody in and around you safe and healthy, all right?
You got it. Just going to sit down with the latest kids movie with Marla right now. We're going to watch Silence of the Lambs. I'll tell you how it goes.